This is the Children's Home Hour, originating in Bristol, Tennessee. This is Brother Mike Nixon, and I'd like to welcome you to the broadcast today. We do thank you for joining us. I count it a privilege of ours to come into your place of listening. Now, I would like to begin the broadcast out with a word of prayer, so if you can, pray with us. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we want to thank you today, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you for your mercy and your grace, Lord. God, I thank you for saving me, Lord God. I appreciate it so much, Lord. I'm glad for just the goodness of God and how you come by where I was, Lord. And God, when I couldn't get to you, you come to me. God, when I couldn't reach to the heights of heaven, Lord God, you come down to the lowest parts of the hell, Lord God, and lifted us out of the miry clay, Father, Lord, and I appreciate it. And we do ask you today, Lord, that you'd lead us and guide us. I pray, Father, Lord, that you'd bless the broadcast, bless the listeners, bless those, Father, Lord God, that need you most today, Father. Lord, we just seek you today. Lord, look to you. Thank you one more time. I pray for the children's homes, mission work, all the work that you've birthed, Lord. Just have your way in it, Lord, and we'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, brethren, I'd like to make just a few real quick announcements. And first of all, I'd like to thank each and every one of you that has written us and just given us a word of encouragement and support over the last little bit. I really appreciate it. Seems like it's been in a timely manner how that sometimes we get down and out, but I appreciate the saints of God who can just give a word, and it's really encouraging to our hearts, and I appreciate it and want to thank you for it. And then I would like to ask you to continue to pray for us, pray for our children's homes. We have the one here in Bristol, Tennessee, and one in North India, one in South India, one in Romania, all the feeding centers where we try to feed the children daily in Romania and Bulgaria. Pray for the churches in those countries also, and all of our missionaries in Romania, Bulgaria, the Ukraine. I'd really appreciate that. I know the Lord is really blessing the work, and I just really want to encourage the missionaries and be a blessing to them if we can, and how that the Lord has just used them greatly and mightily. And I just want to be able to thank him for that and just ask you to continue to pray for him and that he'd just have his way. I'd like to mention the feeding over there in Romania and Bulgaria. It's the time of the year we're trying to get the money together for the flour and oil. And I'm not exactly sure on the cost of that. Most of the time it's between $70,000 and $80,000 a year to do that. We try to feed each family 110 pounds of flour and 5 liters of oil. It's what we try to give them. That helps them through the hardest part of the winter where there's no jobs and they've got their families to take care of and things like that. So if you would just help us with that, it's normally somewhere around $35, and that'll feed a family for a winter. And I'm sure they'd greatly appreciate it. It's been such a great blessing and a tool that the Lord has used over many years just to let them find out how much he loves them. And then they get them in there and preach the gospel to them. And it's a lot easier to preach to them when their bellies are not growling or not hungry and things like that. The winter time is a very busy time for the missionaries. There's no jobs or anything like that. So the people's got more time to go to church and just be active in it. And so it's the busiest time of the year when the summer months get there and there's things to do, crops in the field, things like that, jobs that they can have. They work really hard, try to make money to sustain them, but it normally runs out, and you continue to pray for them, and I'd really appreciate it. And I'd like to ask you if you would write us this week. Write us at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. Or you can write us at Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. And at this time, I would like to take you to the auditorium of the Brookside Baptist Church. We're going to play a song and have a message.
Weary and sore, but I
God. Amen. Amen. I mean, the Lord's been good to all of us. He is good to us. Thank God. If you're saved this morning, you've had the best thing happen to you that can possibly happen while you're on the face of this earth. And if you're not, you're missing out. You ought to just hang around a little bit, ask the Lord to talk to you. Talk to Him. He'll talk back. He'll come by and help you. But what the Lord's put on my heart is what He's done for the Gentiles. Amen. Thank God. I'm glad He didn't leave us out. I want to read to you some good stuff this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 4. And I'm going to start reading in verse 14. Just read a few verses here. And it said that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Amen. Listen to what he says about this. The people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region of the shadow of death, light has sprung up. Thank God. That's what he done for the Gentiles. Amen. Now what I want to say about that, talking to John and talking about the Jews and Israel and all of that. I mean, if the Lord had never really revealed himself to Israel, they were still all right. You can like that or not, they're still all right. God had given them a covenant back there in the Old Testament. I mean, Abraham was there and he's going up on the mountain and he said, his son Isaac said, behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham prophesied and said, God shall provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Amen. He did. He provided himself. He come over here in Matthew chapter 1 and they said, they shall call his name Emmanuel, for he shall save his people from their sins. And so, I mean, all of that business, God had done given them promises, covenant, hope, all of that. If he never did really do anything for us, He fulfilled his word to Israel, thank God. But what I want to say is this, I'm glad he didn't leave us out. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad he talks about Galilee of the Gentiles and the people. The Bible said that which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region of the shadow of death, light has sprung up. I thought about this. See, Israel always had a little bit of light. Even it talked about in Romans chapter 11. It said dimness in part has come to them. I mean, he just dimmed the light down just a little bit that they can't see who he is. But one day, thank God, he's going to turn the light back up and they're going to know exactly who he is. But see, we didn't even have dimness in part. We had never seen anything. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 2, we were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. We didn't have no covenant, no hope, no promise. We didn't have anything. We didn't have no promise of any light. To let us see anything. We were just a people that sat in darkness. We didn't know how to get out of darkness. We didn't have no way. We didn't have no light to help us to get out. I mean, if you've ever been out in the darkness and you don't know where you're at, you don't know which way to go, you don't know what to do or anything else, but I'm glad. Now I want to read some other scriptures to you over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I've been thinking about this. The last little bit, as I said, John was talking about the Jews, and I want to talk to you about the Gentiles, if I can find my place here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Bible said, therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Verse 3 said, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to preach just for a few minutes, if you'll help me. I want to preach on the light of the glorious gospel. And the first thing I want to say about that, it sure is glorious, thank God. I mean, to the Jews, and I'm not downplaying any of that at all. I mean, to the Jews, the gospel is not glorious. They're enemies for our sakes. They're enemies for the gospel's sake right now, but don't worry about that business. They don't understand all of that, and they can't understand it because God had blinded their minds. I mean, he's put a veil over them every time the reading of the law is. I mean, their eyes are veiled, their hearts are veiled, they can't see. But don't worry about that. I'm talking to the Gentiles this morning. I am a Gentile, but I'm glad that, thank God, I mean, I understand. I remember what it was to sit in darkness and not know what to do, and not know where to turn, and not know which way to go. You say, what happened? One day, the light of the glorious gospel. If you've ever been in a dark place, I mean, and the gospel shows up, it sure is glorious, thank God. I mean, it's glorious to find out, I mean, a way out of this mess. I was dead in sins and in trespasses, and I didn't know how to get out of it. But when the glorious gospel showed up, oh my God, is glorious. I mean, Lord God, when I didn't know what to do, and the gospel showed up, Lord God, what a glorious day that was. What a glorious message that was. What a glorious time that was when I found out I didn't have to die and go to hell. I mean, the Bible said I was alienated. But now it says, but now, being made nigh by the blood of Christ, thank God, I didn't have to stay that way. Say, how come, Jesus? I mean, I didn't know my way out, but one day I heard somebody read a scripture that Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I mean, I am the life. No man come to the Father but by me. When I didn't know the way, thank God, he said, I am the way. Oh, what a glorious verse that is to me. I didn't know what to do, Lord God, but I know the one that knows everything to do. I know the one that knows it all. I mean, my God, it's glorious this morning. It ain't just, the gospel ain't just some light thing that we have. Lord God, he done the best thing that ever could be done. I mean, for a crowd that sat in darkness, he turned the lights on, bless God. I've been thinking about a few things. I mentioned this the other day, and it just come to me, and I set it up here preaching, but I want to deal with it a little bit this morning. I hear them talk about, you know, when you die, you see a light, or you see this, go to the light and all that. You forget that business. Just forget that. You want to see the light while you're living.
Yes, sir.
Amen. If you don't see the light of the glorious gospel while you're living, you're going to hell. Don't worry about following the light when you die. You follow the light while you're alive. Amen. While you're sitting in darkness and don't know what to do. I mean, I guarantee you in a crowd, I mean, we don't have a huge crowd this morning, but in a crowd this size this morning, there's somebody sitting here in darkness. Your heart is dark. You're lost. You don't know what to do. You don't know how to get out of the situation you're in.
Amen.
Oh, Lord God. But when the light comes on, and I mean, it's this simple. You're sitting there, and you feel the Holy Ghost, or hear him say, like Jesus said, come unto me. That's all you do. You're going to the light now. Your hope of getting out of this darkness is coming to Jesus, thank God. And I like this. I thought about this. I mean, the Bible said in John 1, verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. It said he was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. Now, I like this verse right here. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that come into the world.
Amen. I'm glad he's here to light every man. You might be in darkness, but he wants you to see the light of the glorious gospel. You say, what's so glorious about it? Well, my God, if you're dead, if you ever find out you're dead and in trespasses and sin, and I mean, if you're dead, headed to hell, and find out that there's one man that come down here and paid the price for you, he died, bore your sins on an old rugged cross, I mean, went to hell, left your sins there, got up the third day victorious over death and hell, Lord God, and you're able to go free because of him. We started out this morning singing it's paid in full. Find out, Lord God, that it is paid in full. You don't have to go to hell. It is glorious this morning. Here's a crowd of Gentiles that never had a light. I mean, see, the Old Testament, there was very, very, very little light in the Old Testament for the Gentiles. You find just very few Gentiles that had enough faith to get in. You find Ruth and Rahab, most of them were women. I mean, Lord God, that somehow scrounged around God where God was, God where God was doing some business, and got a little bit of faith to believe him, found their way over in the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, thank God. Lord God, Ruth got, I mean, she got so close, she went ahead and got in the lineage of Christ. Amen. It wasn't just enough to know about Boaz. My God, she wanted him. She wanted a kinsman redeeming. It wasn't just enough to come to church. That's the way we ought to be. It ain't just enough to come to church. You ought to want to know your kinsman redeemer. Oh, Lord. And the thing about this, he wants you to know him. I said earlier this morning, talking about the light, before God ever placed man on the face of the earth, he said, I don't want them to be here without a light. Amen. It said over in Genesis chapter 1, it said, let there be light, and there was light. He said, I don't want mankind to walk around in darkness. I want them to be able to see where they're going. I mean, Lord God, we're living in a dark day. But God said, I don't want them to walk around in darkness. I want them to know where they're going. I want them to know my son. I want them to know about the glorious gospel, thank God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. But he said, which lighteth every man that come into the world. Jesus said this in John 8:12. Then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Amen. Amen. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Amen. Amen. Now listen to this. Said in John 12, verse 46, I am the light of the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Amen. Yeah. I'm talking about a crowd that, when Jesus said, over here in Galilee of the Gentiles, amen, that crowd that sat in darkness, hallelujah, have seen a great light. Amen. That crowd that dwelt in the valley, the shadow of death. Yeah. Lord God, ain't that good? Amen. Here you are, here I was, Gentiles, having no hope, amen, no covenant, no promise, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. I didn't have anything. He said, well, I'm going to give you something. Lord God, I'm going to show you a way out of here. Oh, Lord, I want to go on here real quickly, and I'll be done here in a minute. I thought about scripture over there. As I said, first thing God desired was that there would be a light for man. But I noticed something else here. He said that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Now, I thought about that scripture over in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 5. Now, listen, it said, and there shall be no night there. They shall need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So what's going to take place one of these days? The sun and the moon, heavens and the earth, all that's going to flee away. There's going to be no light. The only way that you have light is you get it now. Amen. When you enter into eternity, you'll have light because he's the light. Yes. If you enter into eternity without having the light before the tunnel that everybody talks about, there'll never be any light. Yes. Everything's gone. The only way you have light is having in Christ now. You better hear him now. If you enter into eternity without Jesus, you'll never have any light. There'll never be any hope. In fact, the scripture says you'll go into outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Listen to this verse, and I'm going to give you this, and I'm going to close here in just a minute. I don't know what time it is. I'm doing good. I'm running early. Thank God. But I like this verse. It really just got a hold of my heart this morning. 2 Timothy verse 1, verse 10. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought to life and immortality to light through the gospel. That's what he's saying. He said, through the gospel, you can find out that death has been abolished. And life and immortality is brought to light. What he's saying, you can find out through the gospel how to live forever in Christ Jesus. You can find out how to enter into immortality. Lord God, I read over there in 1 Corinthians 15, for this mortality must put on immortality. This corruption shall put on incorruption. So how does that happen? Through the light of the glorious gospel. This gospel is so glorious that it changes you. Thank God it don't leave you the way it found you. You're a new creature created in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are made new. Thank God this gospel changes you. I don't watch none of them, to be honest. There's all kinds of movies and stuff, and they show you these immortal people you can't kill, and these zombies and all these things and all that business. Honey, there's something better than all of that. There's a God in heaven that can take this old man here who's doomed to die, cut him loose, the inner man from him, take that soul out of this one and put it in an immortal body. I've got a soul that don't sin. Now, I got a flesh that never quit, but I got a soul that don't sin. Amen. He's going to put him in one made likened to the Son of God. Lord God, I wouldn't miss out on that stuff. I wouldn't miss out on what God done for us. It's a glorious gospel. I mean, I thank God for that scripture over there. It said, before he went to the Galilee of the Gentiles. See, Israel wasn't sitting in darkness. They'd heard from God. They had God's word. I mean, even the crowd that don't know him, they're going to get up. Ezekiel chapter 37, there's a valley of dry bones over there. I don't care where they die. I just know where they're getting up. They had some promises way back yonder. Isaiah said it time and time again. And all Israel shall be saved. The Apostle Paul said, and all Israel shall be saved. For a deliverer shall come out of Zion. And he shall deliver his people from their sin. I mean, my God, they had some things. But now, we're living in a time where the light of the glorious gospel is shining. It's still shining. Now, it's only glorious to the dead crowd when they find out. And to the living crowd that's already got it. You remember when you got saved, how glorious it was? If you're like me, you've forgotten so much stuff. I told Renee this morning, I said, she showed me a picture of Marvin Jones, and I didn't remember him. I said, maybe if I see a school picture, maybe I would. We've all changed and got older. But what I wanted to say is this, I'm terrible with names anyway. I don't know if I can't remember or if I don't pay attention. But either way, I've got a problem. But there's some things I have not forgotten. I remember when the gospel became glorious to me.
I remember when I admitted in my heart that I couldn't do nothing to get to God. But I also remember when I found out He done everything to get to me. I remember when I didn't love Him, but I found out He loved me anyway. He don't love you because you're good. He loves you because He's love. He's so good to us. My love was in a dark place. He had to shine in it. That's hard to comprehend, ain't it? What it said. Light shine in the darkness, darkness comprehended not. We don't know all about Him, but He knows all about us. I was guilty, and you know what shined in? Mercy. Mercy is just as much as the gospel as anything else. Mercy's for the guilty. I was undeserving, but you know what shined in? Grace. I didn't deserve it. But He let the gospel shine in. And it's glorious. Lord, there's so much to preach about it, I don't know how to do it. But I want to say this, He's glorious. And the gospel is glorious. And what I want to say is, I'm a Gentile and I'm glad I got to see a few little things that God done for us.
Well, I trust you've enjoyed the message this week. Once again, write us at Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621, or at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. And until next week, God bless you.